We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey everybody, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Scott Jensen, joined as always on Fridays by Andrew Laird. We're sponsored by Dynasty Owner. We thank them for that. We're going to be at you every Friday. This is the DFS version of the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed the DFS strategy podcast we've had over the last few weeks. We've played those from last year. We thought they were really helpful, and we kind of wanted to not be repetitive and play those, and hopefully people enjoy those and learn some of those. But we are live for the first time in 2020. Andrew, before we start, how's everything with you? Family, life, everything all right?
Everything's great, Scott. What could possibly not be great?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, right?
Yeah, haven't left the house in 6 months. And yeah. Actually, did you grow a quarantine beard?
No, like if I go like 3 or 4 days, it's kind of a long time for me. But we had a RotoWire call with everybody, and I noticed that there were some impressive quarantine beards in the group there.
Yeah, what's funny is that you don't see them as often as I do, since we do Zoom calls fairly regularly, but that's actually right. Just their regular. That's not, none of that was actually quarantine. That's just living beautiful. In Wisconsin. So,
I guess we're going to be talking about the 2020 season. So most importantly, does this mean I have to actually get over the Super Bowl now?
That Super Bowl feels like it was 100 years ago, doesn't it? Or do you think
not? There's no way that was this year.
Right.
It's impossible. There's right. No way.
What's funny is we were kind of casually talking about Super Bowl odds and whatnot, and who we think might go to the Super Bowl. And I was like, who was in the Super Bowl last year? Like I had to look it up, and I'm like,
oh yeah, no.
That was,
I did not have to look it up.
Well, sure.
I still have this little scar that itches at me every day, so I don't have to look anything up with that game.
Yeah, the new season means, that didn't happen.
That's beautiful. Like that. So, we're going to be talking DFS every week. Obviously, this is the 1 week we're not a full slate of games yet, so we figured we'd talk some preseason stuff, some DFS strategy a little bit, but obviously starting next Friday, we'll be breaking down the slates, going through every game, going through every player, and kind of hoping to help everybody win some cash, whether you play cash games or GPPs or whatever you may do in the DFS world. Hopefully we'll be here to help you kind of find some good values, figure out who to fade, all that kind of good stuff. But Andrew, I'm looking forward to it. It's been a while, and I'm there was a while we weren't sure we were going to get a football season. Now it looks like it's kind of a full go right now, at least. But I'm looking forward to it.
What do you think the odds are they get the full season in?
Man, I think they're going to try and push through really hard. I think there's going to be suspended games here and there, but I don't know. If I had to put a percentage on it right now, I'd go like 62% that they play a full season.
that's probably the reasonable number. Like, I think it's actually closer to 90.
Oh, so you think they just push through no matter what?
Yeah. And yeah. Like, I don't even know if we'll see any like postponed games. It's just like so difficult to like reschedule football games. It feels like that, like, how do you effectively do it? Cause it's not like you can say like, if a game is supposed to be Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern, and there's like a massive number of positive tests, and it's not like, oh, we'll just play Wednesday. Like, you, that's not long enough. But then like, you can't really expect teams to play, I guess they get a early bye and you play it that way. I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing is baseball tried that the first time with the Marlins, with the, you know, we'll just wait one day and then play, and it blew up. So right. I think that model's been kind of blown out of the water. So I don't know what happens if Sunday morning, you know, they're doing the COVID test and they have a COVID inactive list. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, two guys has positive, they should go on that list and they play the game, or what they try and do. It's going to be, I imagine there's a lot of people involved that don't really know how it's going to work until it actually happens once.
Right. And it just seems like the NFL took the opinion of like, no, we're the NFL, so it's not going to apply to us. And we just play. That's what we do.
You got like seven teams that are going to have fans in the stands too.
It's crazy.
Broken down percentage, but I mean, Jerry Jones is talking about he's selling luxury suites right now. He's trying to get people in that way. He's talking about 50% capacity. I think the Chiefs are at 15 or 20% capacity for their opening game. It's going to be really interesting, and it's going to be really interesting right away. So it's obviously as a sports fan, as someone who works in this world, I'm very much hoping that it's a go. But I think it's going to be the first couple of weeks will be very, very interesting.
Yeah, I saw some of the responses the other day about how, I think it was Goodell was saying that home field advantage basically doesn't exist in the NFL. And so like, it didn't really matter in terms of the fans. I don't know if that was the context of it, but effectively he was saying home field doesn't matter. And I think people...
First of all, okay. Sure, Ron.
I think people kind of misunderstand what home field advantage actually entails. And I think it's more like, oh, the fans are really crazy there, blah, blah, blah. And I think they completely ignore the fact that like the hardest part of playing on the road is the travel.
And 100%.
Like yeah, that's absolutely the issue. So like if you're going to, you know, if you're flying from New York to LA, it has nothing to do with the, well, I guess that was a bad choice with the, I was going to say the LA fans, but like if you're going New York to Seattle,
there's a couple of Rams fans.
That's true. Like, yes, the Seattle fans are great, but like that's not the reason why road games are so hard. It's because you're like traveling all the way and you're not at home and you're in a hotel, which I'm sure they're pampered plenty, but like it's just not the same. And so like that's really the issue. So the fact that like the idea that home field doesn't matter is crazy.
It really is. I mean, just getting off your schedule and having to do stuff in a different place. I mean, there's a lot to be said. There's a reason why teams win at home, and it's not just because,
right,
you know, Seattle fans are really that. I mean, that in Seattle, that's one. Seattle, Kansas City, maybe those are places where it actually does impact a little bit. And, you know, you get momentum going and Mahomes makes a big play and all of a sudden you can feel it. But yeah, I mean, the aspect of travel and everything that goes along with it is tough. As someone who used to travel a lot, I haven't in a while, but that cross-country trip just takes a toll on it. It's hard to figure out why it is. And I get that these guys all travel, you know, in a more luxurious fashion than I do, like you said. But it still takes a lot out of you. It affects the body. It affects the internal clock. And when you're a professional athlete, you're so used to your schedule and your routine that there's just no way. I mean, as you become a veteran, I imagine you learn how to do it better and get used to it. But it's that's definitely the aspect of road games that I factor in way more than how loud the crowd might be that day.
Right. And it seems like the Lions always kind of appreciate that, you know, like when the Raiders at Jets, I remember, you know, for a 1 o'clock Eastern start, like that's a very early body clock game for the Raiders. And so like, that's the difference. It's not rabid Jets fans.
Well, plus traveling to play that Jets team is obviously a scary,
I mean,
thing
nobody, itself. Nobody ever wants to do that. You're right.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, the funny thing about this season, though, we're talking about, you know, games and stuff, is like, we do the DFS pod. This is the perfect season for DFS. Like, if you are worried about canceling games, if you're worried about guys getting sick and you know, being inactive, if you're worried about games getting canceled, if you're worried about, we're going to know that stuff on Sunday morning. This is a perfect season to play DFS. You play each week at a time. You can play as much or as little money as you want. You can pick any players you want. I think the NFL is built for DFS myself, and I've shifted a lot of my focus over the few years. I still play season long. It's fun, and there's a lot of there's some companies that I support that I, you know, I play some contests in. But I mean, NFL is built for this, and 2020 NFL, I mean, you could not pick a better time to really focus on DFS as opposed to season long.
Yeah, I mean, for someone like me who's completely given up on season long, like, I'll happily agree with you, but like, it does seem like this year more than ever, like all of the reasons that I left season long are just accentuated this year.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's that moves in right into the topic that we were going to discuss today, which admittedly was an article I was going to write for the site and just felt like it was a better delivery system through a conversation, because it just seems like we can get more out of it. But really what I want to discuss was like why you should play DFS against your friends this year instead of these season long leagues, because I mean, just what we're saying, like with the late inactives and it's not like late COVID inactives are players that we don't consider at all. Like there could be some very big players who just test positive.
Oh, I mean, there will be. I don't think it's a could be. I think that there absolutely will be. And, you know, it's going to be guys that you know, haven't been hurt all week and you're counting on them. And all of a sudden, you know, Sunday at 9:30 or 9:15, they're going to be out.
You would think that we would know the road ones first, right? Like, are they testing? I don't know what the COVID protocols are.
As far as I can tell, they're testing either the night before or that morning, getting quick tests, and there's going to be Sunday morning inactives that we had not known anything about up until Sunday morning.
So they're going to have everybody like fly to games and then test them?
I believe that you get tested either the morning of or the night before. Yes.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. So, but I mean, you're still going to know about that at, you know, nine, even if I'm doing Pacific time, obviously games start at 10, you know, at 9 o'clock, if that happens in season long, I'm dead. Like if Raheem Mostert tests positive, I don't have a backup running back. That's going to, I'm kind of in trouble, or I'm going to put someone in that I don't want to put in. But in DFS, I just slide from Raheem Mostert to Chris Carson and, you know, we're ready to go. So, I mean, it's just, you know, not to make a 49ers all about the 49ers and Seahawks, but it's just the time. It's a perfect setup for this. Now, when you say DFS against your friends, are you talking about like setting up a league that week? Or are you talking about like a season, moving your season long league and actually playing DFS every week and then doing rankings that way?
Yeah. So I did this.
That's a cool idea.
So I did this with some friends. I think this was going to be our third or fourth year. I mean, we had a season long league every year. It's just, I mean, it's basically the classic like home league. Right. And one year, I convinced them to try it on DraftKings, and we set up a league, and there were, I think there were 8 of us at the time, 'cause not everybody wanted to come over, but I think it's up to 12 now. But basically it's every week, the league we had was a 150 buy-in. So instead we now do $10 a week into this league. The top three, each week get paid. There's obviously like a tiered, payout structure each week, but that's all it. And then there are standings like throughout the season based on how you do points wise. Although really the only thing we end up caring about is whether you made money or lost money over the course of the season. But
is there with the points at the end of the year is like an overall winner for the season or no?
There is, although I'll be honest, we just ignore it. We just keep playing. But like the benefit of it is just like you said, like, I think the reason I got into it is because a few years ago, I forget when it was, but like basically my first three picks, like first three round picks, all got hurt in week one. And I just was not the kind of person who was like, all right, I'm just going to like grind the waiver wire. And like, I was toast. Right. And it's just like a bummer to have your whole season ruined on week one, And DFS, if all of your guys get hurt, they're just hurt for that week. And the next week you come back and you can play again. And so, from that perspective, it's a lot better. And I know there are people who like love to do the research to find those like really deep guys for the waivers and stash them for 8 weeks and then hope they make the playoffs so that they can release those guys later on. And if you really like that research process and like there's a ton of research you can do for DFS every week that can be just as effective. Oh, yeah. And so it's not like you're losing out on this part of the fantasy football that you enjoy. It's just kind of redirected in a different way. And so what's nice is that every week, you know, Sunday mornings, you pick your team and you go up against your friends and, you know, you're able to play kind of in a casual way or as serious as you want, kind of however you take it, your season long league. I mean, everybody has their home leagues where like some guys are really into it, and then some are get lucky every year, and then there are guys who just like the pay the fee every week, every season, and just like the camaraderie of playing, but they're awful. And so you can transfer all of that to over to DraftKings or FanDuel or Yahoo that allow these leagues to be set up, and you just win money from your friends like you used to.
And I think the key you mentioned there is the camaraderie, because a lot of people, you know, that's a couple of my football leagues, like that's what I'm there for. Like it's the way that I stay in touch with people. It's the way that I still talk to people where I probably, you know, without those leagues, you know, 10 years ago, I might have, you know, lost contact.
Totally.
But the fact that you can set up an actual league and you can play that way, I mean, I think there's actually more camaraderie. I think that the week to week, like if you're 1-6, you know, you're probably not really talking very smack and, you know, reaching out and texting your friends. But if every week and you're, you know, week 8, you win that league, suddenly, you know, you're back into it and you're fully involved, you're fully engaged. And it's just a, you know, only takes a couple weeks to win to make some money back. So it's a fun setup. It's really good that they've set up, you can do leagues that way. And it's, yeah, I think that, there's gonna be a lot of leagues that kind of morph over to that. And I think that 2020 might be the perfect spot for that.
Yeah. And like for those that play against their friends for money, like you can, set up different payout structures. Like what's nice about the way that, I mean, we do ours on DraftKings is just like every week it's the top three that get paid out. Depending on your entry fee, they tier it for you, but you can also do winner take all each week. Like I know there's some leagues that, you know, you all pay in at the beginning and then, you know, first, second, third, or first and second get paid at the end of the season. And there was also kind of like some small bonuses if you're the highest scoring that week. I mean, those bonuses are basically what DraftKings is every week.
Right.
You know, whoever scores the most gets the majority of the money. And so it's just like a nice way to play. Obviously, the league is set up differently in terms of it's a salary cap format. And so it's not a draft. FanDuel, I believe, just came out with Snake Draft DFS, which I have not tried yet. Draft used to do that. And then...
Yep.
I mean, FanDuel bought Draft years ago, so that's probably just their product. So if you really want to do the draft version, I think you can do that. But the one kind of negative point that some people tried to point out when we first set up this league was like, well, we're all going to have the same players because we all, you know, everybody's open. The player pool is open. And so it's just whoever fits under the salary cap. And I can tell you,
I promise you won't have the same lineup.
Like we've been playing for, I think it's 3 full years. Like never once has like there been a duplicate lineup, let alone even like two people with all but like one difference. Like the rosters are big enough and the player pool is certainly big enough. And because of the salary structure, you know, if you say like, I'm going to play Mike Evans this week and somebody else is going to play Godwin, like your lineups are going to be different because generally just the salaries are different enough that, that creates differences. And so it's just a different way to play, but like everything that you do to get ready for your season long leagues apply. Like if you're looking at weekly rankings to figure out like which of your two guys you should start, that just feeds into DFS of like, all right, I looked at the rankings and this running back's better than the other one. And so I'll target him in DFS. And then you can just do that, against your friends every week.
I'm impressed. It only took you 20 minutes to figure out if it's a Godwin or Evans week. We already gotten that.
It's neither. Tom Brady's going to ruin them both.
I look forward to it. It used to be fun to figure that with Jameis. We're going to have to figure that with Tom Brady. But I'm curious how you play these leagues. But first, a note from our sponsor, Dynasty Owner. I've been looking for a new challenge, which is why I'm playing Dynasty Owner Fantasy Football this season. Dynasty Owner Fantasy Football unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office. Dynasty Owner is the only way to play fantasy football with real NFL salaries, adding the strategy of running an NFL franchise. Dynasty Owner provides a unique challenge for diehard fantasy football fanatics. Go to dynastyowner.com/rotowire. Leagues are forming now. That's dynastyowner.com/rotowire. We've all been in a league where the owner just got lucky. If you're like me and you know you're better than most, well, I don't know if I know that fully, but Dynasty Owner gives you a platform to prove it. Dynasty Owner favors skilled players who can manage their roster using real NFL salaries within the salary cap. It adds an entirely new level of strategy. Go to dynastyowner.com/rotowire and validate your fantasy football skills. That's dynastyowner.com/rotowire. Dynasty Owner, start your dynasty today. So Andrew, you talk about you know, your league with your friends. You kind of moved over there now. So how do you strategize that? Like you're playing against 11 people. So you're not playing against, you know, 11,000 people or, you know, 11 million people, whatever it may be. Do you play that sort of like a cash game more than a GPP? How are you like formulating your strategy if you're doing this sort of setup?
Yeah. So for people who really have never played DFS, like generally, if you want to read, you know, player picks every week, because that's the player picks are always like popular things. Like you want to focus on people that write about cash games, because generally that's what you're playing. Like you, if you are somewhat familiar with DFS and you see like the lineups that win the Millie Maker and stuff like that, they include guys that are like 2% owned that you would never think of rostering, and they happen to go, you know, catch two long touchdowns, and like that's how they won $1 million. Like those are not the guys you need to beat 10 of your friends or 11 of your friends. Like you pretty much want to focus on players with high floors. So the guys who are going to touch the ball a lot, and you essentially want the consistently decently scoring guys. Like you don't need anybody to have huge game out of nowhere, because the out of nowhere usually means that they're not doing well. And so right. If they're not doing well, like you're going to lose more often than not. And so there are a bunch of strategies that go into cash games, but generally, people kind of joke around, just like play the best plays. And obviously that's like easier said than done. But this idea that you need to like find like a deep sleeper or someone that like totally off the radar, like you don't need that for beating your friends, especially like you don't even need that to beat other people who regularly play DFS. But like I said, like if you are in a regular home league, like generally not everybody is great. And so you don't need to like go way out of your way to like beat somebody right. who really isn't always into it. So you generally just want to reduce the risk of your lineup. That doesn't mean like take terrible players that sometimes are good, but like the more that you think of like, this guy could have, you know, 180 yards and two touchdowns, but he probably won't. If you think probably won't, then you probably don't want him in this cash game. And so generally, like I said, like research wise, and you hear these people talking about DFS and like, oh, I think he's really good in large field GPPs. Like that's not really someone you probably need. Just focus on the cash games. And those are the double ups and head to heads and maybe some single entry tournaments, but you don't need to go wild to build these lineups.
Yeah, and I think that's actually fun about this podcast. You mentioned, you know, player pick articles and stuff, but I think, you know, listening to us is the good thing here is that you are very cash game based and I am less so. So you're probably going to get you get plays on both sides. So if you want to play cash games with your friends, you know, Andrew is really good at kind of building that that base cash lineup and had a really good success rate last year cashing lineups. And you know, I'm probably more that's going to give you that that flyer wide receiver that I think is going to be lower owned, or you know, kind of some pivot plays at running back, that sort of thing. So hopefully by doing this podcast, we'll give you a good idea of, you know, kind of the different plays that week, both from a cash game and GPP perspective. And if you're playing with your friends, you know, you can do that lineup, and there's no reason you can't obviously do a different lineup for your GPP. Do you enter is your main cash lineup, is that the one you also play with your friends? Do you mix it up, or do you just kind of throw the same lineup in each contest?
Yeah, I same one. Like if I'm mostly because it almost sounds like I would have to dumb it down to play my friends, and like thankfully my friends are good enough where I don't have to quite do that. But
and hopefully your friends don't listen for that one.
Right, yeah. I think my league alone, like I know that they all basically make their lineups Sunday morning. Some of them may think of them a little earlier in the week, but like I know one jokingly says he just does it in the bathroom every Sunday morning, and he looks at it and that's it. And that's his lineup. And like, right. But that's fun for him. And that's fun for us because there's another lineup in, and the more people that play, the higher the prize pool is. But right. I mean, the one thing that I love about DFS one of the things I love about it is all of the research that you're doing is for this week. And so you're not looking at schedules like, oh, what does this guy have over the next 6 weeks? Or yep. I really think he's going to do well in the second half of the season because his schedule is a lot lighter, or just the opposite. I don't want this guy because he has a tough schedule. Like, bye weeks are coming up, and now I don't have a wide receiver. Like everything you're doing is focusing on this week. And so you're able to focus on the important things in these research that, I mean, we've talked, I mean, we just posted five podcasts of a lot of things that we do over the course of the week to get us ready for DFS. you know, looking at Vegas lines or even like we have a tool on RotoWire where you can see where you think people are going to be drafted, what number of teams are going to have certain players. And so using those tools generally can get you ready for DFS, and you're using all of that time that you were like looking at who the Bengals are playing in 6 weeks and whether you want to play Joe Mixon. It's like, no, just look at Sunday and do you want to play Mixon this week?
And what I like about that is you're not, you know, in season long, you're kind of like rooting for the guys. And if you have a backup, you're rooting for guys to get hurt or not play well. And you don't have to worry about that in DFS. And what I would say, you know, with the research aspect of it is, you know, usage. You're looking for volume. You want running backs that are going to be touching the ball. You want receivers that are getting targets. And obviously not only guys are getting targets, but guys that are growing in targets. What I do a lot of times with receivers is I like to look at targets per week. And then, you know, if someone's gone from 2, 4, 4 targets and all of a sudden they're like 8 and 10, and maybe DraftKings and FanDuel and Yahoo haven't caught up with this price yet. I really like guys who are kind of building into their roles, building into targets. Those are guys that I think you can start to play in DFS that, you know, in a regular league, maybe they're sitting on your bench, you're not getting to use them, and they're cheap at DFS, and it can help you get Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley into our week. So there's just so many different ways to build that. But yeah, I think it's fun. The other aspect is fun that, you know, in a regular league, you're like, you've got your 12 teams and that's it. You kind of can't really expand. Like if you have 2 friends or 4 friends or 5 friends, it can be an odd number, which is great. You can build your, you know, your local DFS league up to 17 or 21. And there's no, you know, you don't have to play head to head. You don't have to have an even number. You don't have to have a low enough number that you can roster good players. I think it's fun that, you know, you can slowly build it and, you know, suddenly you can have 25 guys in your league and the pot goes up and it makes it a little tougher to win, but, you know, more money around and you can kind of build it. Whereas your home league, it's kind of the same 12 guys and you're kind of stuck there.
Right. And the other benefit is because these sites offer so many different contests, like you can build your one lineup to play your friends and you can use that lineup in huge $5 double ups and 10, 25, like they go all the way up and you can play
You can use that lineup to win a GVP and win a bunch of money too.
If you're building a lineup to beat your friends that wins the GPP, you built the lineup to beat your friends incorrectly. I'll put it that way.
I wanted to set you up to say that. Perfectly. It was beautiful.
But yeah, I mean, it's a way to get yourself acclimated to DFS without kind of having to play a bunch of people who may be playing all the time. You know, you can get your feet wet that way without, not that I would say go after a bunch of these pros right away, but I don't know. It's just a way to get into it. And I think one of the other nice things about DFS, and you were just talking about like ways to pay up for Christian McCaffrey. Like if you love McCaffrey and you go into your season long league with the third pick, you're not going to get him. And DFS.
Yeah, I mean, you have an 11 out of 12, whatever that decimal is, chance of not getting Christian McCaffrey. I mean, even as much as you love him, even if you get pick 2, you're not getting McCaffrey this year. And this is a chance for you to play him as many weeks as you want.
Right. Like you can play him. It's funny. I shared this in the RotoWire subscriber Discord the other day, but DraftKings sent like a email of like, who was your most played player last year? And mine was McCaffrey, and I played him 16.
I'm stunned by that.
I played him 16 times. I'm a one lineup person, so like I played McCaffrey every single week.
Him 16 times last year. That's amazing.
Yeah, 16.
I love that.
Which I mean, somebody else posted theirs and was like 47. I'm like, oh, but I play one lineup, and so I don't
exactly.
So every time I could have played him, I apparently did, and so. But like that's obviously you don't have to. It was almost like a season log league, and I had 1.1. But
mine definitely would have been wrong. Buccaneers receiver is most.
That would have been funny if they combined Evans and Godwin. But yeah, so like it's just you get to play the guys that you like want to be able to play for or that you want, and so I mean that's kind of the pitch for salary cap games anyway, even something like an auction draft, like you still have to pay up for them and only one person can have it. But here, the salary cap, like we can all have McCaffrey if we want. And then you just have to beat your friends with the other guys, which is doable.
Yeah, and doable, but also not easy. I mean, if you pay up for McCaffrey, you're going to have to sacrifice somewhere else, which I think makes it fun. I mean, that's the challenge of piecing together that lineup is, you know, if you could play Christian McCaffrey with, you know, with Michael Thomas and Davante Adams at the same time, it wouldn't be fun. But the way DraftKings and all these salary caps set up is that you just can't do that. I mean, there's just no way to do that unless you play, you know, 4 zeros or something like that. And that's not going to win either. So I think the fun and the challenge is the fact you can play everybody, but you got to figure out how to do it in the correct way.
Yeah. It's a fun puzzle every week. That's kind of the way I've always looked at it as a puzzle. And so You have to know who you want to prioritize. The answer is always McCaffrey. And you just kind of have to build from there. But like, that's where you get the differentiation, because there are certain guys where that, you know, prefer Michael Thomas, and somebody else is like, no, I think it's a DeAndre Hopkins week. And so that already just starts to split it. And so I like can't emphasize enough that people who are worried that you're going to just all play the same lineup, it's like, you're not.
Yeah. Like 2 weeks in, you'll realize that that's a horrible argument.
Right. Right. And it even just comes, I mean, you're obviously going to see the other lineups that are in your contest, and you know, you're going to see pretty early on, like, who has figured out the puzzle and who hasn't.
Yeah. It's funny, because my argument against it, when I do like about season long still, would be the fact that if you love a player in the sixth round and you draft him, you get that player all year long. And whereas, you know, if that happens, everybody gets to play him, you know, weeks 2 through 16, if they want to. That's my one aspect I still do love about season long. It's a very small nitpick, but that would be my argument. Would definitely not be the everybody's gonna play the same guy. Mine would be that if you find that gem, you get to keep him in season long. Whereas DFS, so, you know, everybody gets to keep him.
That's fair.
Yeah. That'd be my one argument. I think everybody had the high percentage players is kind of a stupid one that would never actually happen. I want to talk about a few more deeper strategy things with this, but first a note from our sponsor, FanDraft. Take your league's fantasy football draft to the next level with FanDraft, the online fantasy football draft board. FanDraft makes your draft feel like an actual NFL draft with features such as a streaming ticker, live draft clock, custom logos, team walk-up songs, multiple draft board displays, and more. FanDraft can be used for in-person drafts by exporting the display via projector or onto a large screen TV for the league to enjoy. It can also be used fully online, and any of your number of league owners can join the draft remotely. You can also perform both traditional and auction-style drafts. FanDraft also supports IDPs, rookie-only drafts, keepers, and just about any customization to meet your league requirements. You can sign up for a free trial account at FanDraft.com. When you're ready to order the pro account, make sure to use the promo code ROTOPOD15 to save 15% off your purchase. Again, that's FanDraft.com, and use promo code ROTOPOD15 to save 15%. So, Andrew, another cool aspect of DFS, both in general and if you're, you know, playing with your friends in the league, is the fact that you can do late swap. So, you know, tell me what is late swap. Obviously, you know, it's you know, after the 10 o'clock deadline, I'm going to use Pacific time again, before the 1 o'clock games start. With the COVID stuff, we're going to get some 1 o'clock inactives. With late swap, you can get guys out of there. If, you know, like I said, someone like Raheem Mostert playing the West Coast, if he suddenly is inactive for a game, you could do that. Whereas in a season-long league, you're stuck with who's on your bench. But like I said before, in this kind of situation, games have already started. You know what you're doing. You kind of know how you're doing already. You can swap to a, you know, a lower percentage player if you want to be tricky. You can get an injured player out. But tell me how you use late swap, both in you know, this format, but also regularly.
Yeah, so I think the way that most people think about late swap is the injury situation of, I have somebody, and obviously that's going to be different this year with these potential COVID inactives. But yeah. I think generally people, if they have a player in the later game, meaning the late afternoon, or I guess I should add that DraftKings and FanDuel don't include the Sunday night game in their leagues. I think they actually probably offer a possibility to do that. But if you're somebody, and they definitely offer Thursday through Monday. So if you want to go full 4 days right. each week with your league, you can do that. But so the idea with late swap is, and it's this mimic season long. Like if you have somebody in a season long game with the 4 PM Eastern games and they are announced inactive, like you can bring somebody else in. So that's the basic way to use late swap is my
but
guy's
the key
injured.
Is you can bring keys. You can bring anybody from any of the games.
Exactly. Any of the
1 o'clock get late games,
later games. Right. But the other way to use late swap, which is really the way to take advantage of that, is depending if you're ahead or behind, whether you should pivot off of a player that you have. So the reason I thought we needed to talk about this was specifically because of a situation that happened in my home DFS league last year, where me and another guy were basically battling for first, and I was slightly ahead, and we both had one player left in whatever the game was. And
was it set that you knew you could figure out strategy salary wise, probably who he had?
So salary wise, it was clear we both had the same player.
Okay.
And what I was surprised to see once the game started is that he didn't switch, because if I'm ahead and we have the same player, there's a 0% chance that he can get in front of me.
Right. And obviously you're ahead, so you're not going to be the one that's going to switch.
Right. Although there's some game theory there that had I known my friend would switch, then I would switch, but I didn't.
Yeah, that's because I know that you know kind of thing.
Right, right. Yeah. The benefit of playing with your friends is that you know your friends are lazy, or some of them are lazy and don't switch. And he told me that. He was like, no, I don't even think about switching. And I was like, great. Well, then I know that if we ever have the same guy, like, I don't have to switch, so I can just.
Right.
But if I'm behind, then I know I should switch because I know he's not going to. But it's as simple as that. Like, I want to say it was early in the season. It probably wasn't Todd Gurley, but I feel like it was. It was some West Coast game, and it was a running back. And we both had him. And it's like, but if I'm behind and I know that the guy in front of me, you know, the salary matches up, that he has Todd Gurley, then I cannot expect to win if right. if I keep Gurley in my lineup. And so the way that you use late swap is who else is there that I can play? And so there's also a little more that goes into it depending on how you actually pay out every week. Like,
right. You don't want to swap from Todd Gurley to, you know, Darrell Henderson if you can go drop from second to fourth and lose money too.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So there is obviously strategy in there, but if you want to play in first, like if you're in fourth and the top three pay, finishing yeah. fourth and finishing eighth is no different.
Yeah.
You're getting zero both ways. So the idea is that maybe you do want to switch out from Gurley to somebody who's a little more of a home run threat. Home run in the terms of long touchdown, but that was a poor for a football podcast.
You can just call him player A, Raheem Mostert. That's fine.
Right. So if I'm going to switch from Gurley to Mostert, then I should do that because I need to catch up. And so like really that's the way that you take advantage of and late swap feels a little weird for people who play season long anyway, because you don't necessarily have like you don't have that. Like if you are in a season long league and you're like, oh, I have Gurley late, like I'm the only one with Gurley, then
right.
you obviously don't need to switch. But if we both have Gurley and I'm behind and that's all we have, then I have to switch because this is the only way I can win.
And in a season long, you've got Gurley and your choices on a season long are probably to get Gurley out, even gets hurt or inactive, or just probably weak. Whereas in a DFS, you get everybody who's playing. And it's funny talking about Mostert reminds me of the old Tevin Coleman 3-touchdown game from last season that both just stung us. You mentioned fun puzzle earlier. I was going to remind you of that. You call it fun. I'm going to remind you of Tevin Coleman scoring three times.
That was the, was that a playoff game?
No, it was against Carolina early, like mid season.
I think he had season.
Yeah. Mostert had three in the Packers playoff game, but it was Coleman out of nowhere had three and had a huge game. I think it was against Carolina. They were wearing the all white jerseys. I do remember that. And I think we loved Mostert that week because they were going to kill Carolina on the ground, and they did kill Carolina on the ground.
Yeah.
It was just the wrong damn guy.
I think now that I'm thinking of it, is it possible that I played Coleman the week that Mostert had three?
I think that's
then we were
that
like
actually,
we finally figured
that actually
out
it did happen. I think yes.
Right, we were like, oh, it's okay. It's Coleman. At least we know it's.
We're
Coleman.
Like they're gonna run the ball so much. They're gonna have a lead. They're just gonna use Coleman to grind out the end. Instead, yeah. Mostert just ran for 35 yards carry.
Right, right.
Yeah, that was beautiful. So with the late swap, is it something in your regular cash games? Like just talk about your regular, like you're playing your double ups, all that kind of stuff. You play, you play a lot of those, and that's mainly what you do in DFS. Are you using that a lot in your cash games, or just more of a strategy for a GPP or like a league where you know it's 1v1 or you know someone had or 2v2? Is it something you do in your regular cash games a lot too, or are you usually kind of figuring that you pick the best lineup, you're going to stick with that?
No, I definitely do it for every cash game, which gets really tedious. If you post like a bunch of head to heads, like I generally play more head to head than double ups even. And
that's right. I always say double up. I mean, head-to-head. I know what you
mean. So, I mean, if I do this to win. And so like in order to win this is like the work that you have to do at, 3:30 ish Eastern on Sundays is that you have to check your head to heads and be like, is this one close? How much salary is left on each side? How many players do I have? Do I have enough players where I think I can make up for if it's a 3v1 at the end and we both have that one, like are the two that I have over the zero enough to make up for the ground that I have to make up? And so like there is a lot that goes into late swap that you have to consider. And so generally, unfortunately, you have to go into each contest and say like, all right, how far behind am I? And am I able to make that up. And so we have a tool on RotoWire where you can actually upload, like if you're in a double up, and it'll tell you like how many people ahead of you have X number of players left and what positions they have. And that's probably a lot more involved than people who are playing against their friends are going to do. But it at least gives you an idea of like, do I think that this is, does it seem like everybody left has like one expensive running back left? And you're like, oh, I have that running back. And so now I'm going to have to pivot from there. But if you're in, you know, a league with 8 to 12 of your friends, you should at least be able to go through each team and just say like, okay, this, he's done. Right. She's done. She only has one player left. He has two left. And then you can kind of go from there. But I mean, I appreciate there are people who like playing season long fantasy football and not having to worry about late swap, or, you know, they'll only do it for an injury situation. But this is just more of that puzzle that I think just makes the game a little more interesting.
Yeah. And the thing with people hear late swap and they think it's a lot of work. And I will agree with them with baseball and basketball. It really is, because you have baseball, you know, start, there's games that start every hour. Football is really easy. There's the morning games and the late games. There's only like one time you really need to check, you know, for you, it's 3:30. For me, it's 12:30. There's only like one spot you have to check for late swap. So it is a little bit of work, and it takes some effort there, but it's only once. It's not like, you know, basketball, you got to check every hour because you get Central and Mountain and West Coast games that start. And, you know, sometimes games start at, you know, 7:30 rather than 7. It's a lot of work in those sports, but football, it's really easy. I mean, it's one time, it's a little bit of work, but it's only once. It's not that hard.
I will also say that there, at least for my home league, the number of times I actually had to late swap is minimal. Like, it's not like you're doing this every week where you're like, oh man, I need to find a new running back because blah, blah, blah. Like, there will definitely be times where you're 3/4 of the way through the first slate of games and you're like, I am dead. Like, there's nothing I can do. And you can pivot if you want, but like, you're just like, there's no way I can make this up. Or you're so far ahead that it really doesn't matter. And so like we describe it, it sounds like it's a lot of work, but like you're really just like checking the standings and it's like, all right, yeah, if I'm 60 points ahead, I don't have to worry about this. Like whoever they have probably is not going to catch me.
Yeah. I mean, and you're obviously checking every time for inactives and stuff. You're probably doing that anyway for your season long league. I mean, if you have there's a bunch of afternoon games and you've got, you know, players, you're still probably checking that anyway. So this is just another step in that. And you're right. There's a lot of weeks where I don't even touch it. I don't even do it. And, you know, or I have a lot of guys in the afternoon I'm not worried about. And I still like the guys that I picked. But, you know, you do get those situations where it's, you know, you each have one guy left or you each have two guys left, which just makes a lot of sense to be a little strategic about it.
Yeah. The one complaint that I've heard is like, I don't want to have to like check this all throughout the day. And I'm like, well, do you like leave the Gamecast thing open or whatever they call it?
No, I don't.
And but like I have friends that are like, yeah, of course, because I want to like track scores. Right. I'm like, it's just a different Gamecast or whatever.
Yeah.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When you're looking for a credit card, get one that wins awards. The U.S. Bank Visa Platinum Card is NerdWallet's 2021 Best of Awards winner for best 0% intro APR and balance transfer credit card. It provides a great way to pay for large purchases over time, as well as consolidating other card balances. And speaking of award winners, the U.S. Bank Altitude Go Visa Signature Card is NerdWallet's 2021 best credit card for dining out or ordering in. Earn 4x points on takeout, food delivery, and dining. Get 2x points at gas stations, grocery stores, and on streaming. If you're into cashback or travel rewards, U.S. Bank has credit cards that feature those benefits too. Check out their full suite of credit cards at usbank.com/creditcard. The creditor and issuer of these cards is U.S. Bank National Association, pursuant to a license from Visa USA, Inc., and the cards are available to United States residents only. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Call it. So, quick, I want to talk real quick about game selection. I know that we did one of the preview podcasts. We talked about this a bunch, but are you – so you're coming this year. Are you – I know you're mostly a cash game player. Like, what percentage do you play GPP? Are you trying to shoot for a little bit of a big score week by week, or are you just strictly cash game and you don't even look at the GPPs?
I look – it's funny. I was when
do you toss. I mean, you have your one cash lamp. You toss it into a couple of GPPs just in case it hits big.
I will throw it into like one, like lower entry, single entry one. But like, I don't expect to win $200,000 with my cash lineup in a GPP. Like the, right. Listening back to the podcasts that we posted earlier this summer that we did last year. And I'm like, yeah, I'd like to play more GPP. And like looking back at my results and it just like, I didn't do it. Like I'm just better at building cash lineups than I am GPP lineups. And, I like agonize over my cash lineup all Sunday morning in order to get it ready for kickoff, and the amount of time that I would need to like build GPP lineups, I just didn't do. And I'm going to say it again this year that I'd like to play more GPP, but I've heard like multiple people in the DFS football industry just be like, if you're good at something, that's what you should do.
I think there's a lot to be said for that.
And like somebody finally, I apologize because I forget who said it, who I listened to a bunch of stuff recently, but like if you're really good at cash games, then just play cash games. And if you're really good at GPPs, play those. But like there are very few people who are really good at both. And based on my results, I am not one of those people who's very good at both. And so like, I just,
but you are very good at cash games. So, I mean, there's a lot to be said for that. I mean, it's funny cause you'll show me your lineup. I'm like, oh, it looks really good. And then we're looking in the afternoon games and you shoot me your screenshot and all your teams are cashing. Like there's a lot of weeks like that where I'm just like, wow, he's really good at cash games. I think that there's a lot to be said for sticking what you're really good at. And there's a lot of people that aren't really good at either, is I think the key to this thing, and you found something you're really good at. But I do think that if you, you know, in general, if you just want to have some fun with DFS too, and you want to throw your $25 in and try and hit something big, I don't think there's a problem with that either. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, I can't believe you're playing in that big contest with those sharks. And like, at some point, this is fun too. Like you're obviously playing with, you want to play with money that you're going to afford to lose. And maybe you get some back, but I think that, you know, playing for some fun is not the worst thing in the world either.
Yeah. It's funny you bring that up. So there are plenty of people who, and I'm absolutely one of them, who complain about payout structures in DFS and like how top heavy they are,
Yeah.
I'm like, it's just not sustainable for most people. And I say that as somebody who mostly plays cash games, and part of it is because of these payout structures. That being said, you were saying like, if you take your $25, like whatever, like the top prizes for some of these GPPs, which are exceptionally hard to win, like don't let that like be forgotten, but like, looking at the top prizes, if you want to spend $25, like there, I'm looking at the DraftKings lobby right now. There is a GPP with a $3 entry where the top prize is $50,000.
Yeah,
and it's a 20 entry max. So like the most number of entries you can have is 20. So it's not like these bigger ones where people are putting in like 100,000, like the gamut of entry fees is vast, as are the top prizes. And so like there is a, what is this one? $250,000 GPP, $1 to enter, top prize, 10 grand. And it's like, if you want to build an exceptionally dumb lineup with plenty of upside to possibly win that, like it's a dollar. And for some,
and you
want to
like, sit down the afternoon and spend your 3 hours watching games and rooting for those players, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And there's, I mean,
like this should be really, really fun and a fun thing for you to do on the weekend, something you enjoy doing, because you're going to come back and play more and you're going to get better at it. The more fun you're having something, you're going to work more at it. You know, you don't want to do something that's not fun. So this should be a good time, and it is. And I love DFS for football. I mean, it's made me really enjoy Sundays more. And it's just, you know, you want to make some money, but you want to have some fun with it at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to keep belaboring this point, though. Like the quarter jukebox, which is a quarter to enter, 25 cents, is a $4,000 top prize.
Like, is this where I humble brag and say I'm not allowed in those contests on FanDuel anymore?
On FanDuel. I was on DraftKings. Look at you. But yeah, it's just
I haven't won enough, but FanDuel, I'm not allowed to $3 and under.
Oh, I wish I was in your boat there. Although then I'd have to play more FanDuel.
I had to throw it out once.
I will say that you were very generous in talking about how I would send you cash game screenshots, but you didn't include that you also consistently call me the boy who cries wolf, because I always tell you I'm pretty sure I'm getting smashed. And then by the end of Sunday, it turns out I'm not.
I left that part out. See how nice I am?
I'm really bad. So I don't check scores. Like, I started this last year, and I think you were the reason.
I think it's my fault. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very liberating, though.
I constantly check real-life scores and fantasy scores, but I don't check where I am in my contests. And I'm actually somebody, as weird as it sounds, like, I don't enjoy the sweat of DFS. Like the live sweat, like the lineup building is what I enjoy about this. And so like constantly being like, oh no, this guy, now I'm not winning. And then something happens and I'm winning. And like that up and down is just like not enjoyable to me. And so you were like,
you and me both. There's a lot of aspects of it. And we talked about having fun. And I think that's important to figure out what part of it you like. I like building lineups. I like watching games and rooting for players. Like when my player scores a touchdown, that's so fun to me. But, you know, checking the lineup, checking at 10:15 in the morning after, you know, there've been 8 plays and I realize I'm losing, that's just not fun.
It's really not. Or even just like after the first half and you're just like, oh, I'm dead. And
on that note, reading Twitter in the first quarter of the first game is painful too.
It is. And so what's funny is that when I initially, so instead of knowing I'm dead or thinking I'm dead, I do think I'm dead. And that's when I text you and I'm like, I'm dead. Yep. And then by the end of the day, thankfully, knock on wood, I wasn't dead.
Yeah, you're like in the 86% percentile. You're never even like remotely near dead.
Well, it's more because it's very clear that I way overestimate the fantasy points of players I don't have who like I see score touchdowns. And like, somebody scores a touchdown and it's like somebody I was considering for my cash lineup. And I'm like, oh, I can't believe that didn't happen. And like, he's going to finish with 35 and whoever I have is going to have like 18. And at the end of the game, it's like my guy has 23 and the other guy has 21. Yep. And I'm like, oh, I guess it was okay.
I've missed those Sunday texts. I look forward to it. You got to keep coming.
But yeah, your big win on FanDuel, didn't you say you didn't know until like it was all over?
And that was when Sunday night was part of it too. And I had Lamar Millen Sunday night game, and I'm not going into too many details, but there was a late touchdown that made my made how much I won go up like 20 times.
That's crazy.
And it would not have been fun to watch that game knowing that if he didn't score a touchdown, how much I could win or could win. It was so fun to watch and root for it. I always knew I was doing really, really well because I watched the games that day and I knew all my players did really well and I knew percentages and I knew who had who and all that kind of stuff. But like knowing exact amounts based on if Lamar Miller gets, you know, 1.3 more points, it was just not fun for me. Some people it is, but it would have lessened my enjoyment of that a lot knowing that, you know, in the fourth quarter, I need him to score a touchdown to win a bunch of money. I just wouldn't have had fun. I wouldn't have enjoyed it where it was the way I watched it was just rooting for Lamar Miller and fun. So it's just a personal preference, but it's just the way that I love watching football. I love rooting for my players. I don't need to like know that, you know, if he gets 30 more yards or I win X amount of money, that's just not fun for me. I'm fine just looking afterwards and seeing how it all worked out.
And I actually think there's nothing worse. I was going to say it's worse when you like check and you're like dead and you just know it, but it's actually so much worse when you look and you're doing really, really well. It's like early, but it's like really, really well. And you're like,
then
this,
you're suddenly you're excited the whole time. And then you look later and you're like,
oh, I'm already spending the money. And then it's exactly. Like, oh, yeah. My $346,000 in winnings is actually just a loss today.
And then you're also watching and you realize that pick six by a defense just moved you from second to 12th. And you're like, it's just brutal.
Right, right. And it's just like, I don't know. I actually find that more frustrating than like just checking and seeing that you were already losing.
So I want to talk about a few end of season predictions real quick, just for some fun. But first, a note from our sponsor, Underdog. Say hello to your new favorite place to play fantasy football for real money, Underdog Fantasy. With Underdog, all you need to do is the fun part. You draft. Forget about injuries, trades, waivers, and setting lineups. Just set it and forget it and wait for the winnings to come in. This year, they have a $1 million tournament. That's right. Just draft the best team. You have a shot at a $1 million in prizes. Sign up for Underdog today. Enter the Best Ball Mania for a chance to win $1 million in prizes by going to underdogfantasy.com or searching for Underdog Fantasy in your app store. Be sure to enter the promo code ROTOWIRE after you make your first deposit. So, Andrew, I wanted to real quick, I know we talked DFS, but I want to talk season, the NFL season in general real quick. Just want to see who you think is going to win each division, who you think is going to win the Super Bowl, maybe a league MVP, rookie of the year, kind of from a, you know, who you think is going to win, but also who you think is the best bet in each. We'll do it pretty quick because we're running a little bit long here. But in the AFC East, you're a Jets fan, so I assume you're picking them at plus 850?
I think they're the best bet in the division at 850.
Oh, I knew you were going to squeeze that in there somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, I think the Patriots are going to win the division.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots are going to suck.
I think
they're going to be legit bad.
I would love that. The real question is, what do you think about the Bills? Like, do you think the Bills win the division?
I do. Like, I'm not super fired up about it. I know they're the favorite. Like, I looked and I thought New England might still be the favorite. New England's plus 145. Last odds I saw, the Bills are plus 110. So the Bills are a little bit favored. And then the Dolphins and Jets are further down the road. But I just don't see it with New England. I know they signed Cam Newton. I don't like anybody on this offense, really. I mean, Damian Harris is kind of interesting, but N'Keal Harry maybe. But I don't like anybody in the offense. They had a couple guys, a couple of good players on defense that are opting out. I just don't see it. I think everybody is picking them and betting them because of, you know, Belichick magic. But I don't see it happening. I think New England finishes under 500. There's my hot take for the day.
Wow. I mean, if you think they'll be terrible. Like, what I was surprised about was that the Jets have worse odds than the Dolphins.
I did too, because I mean, the Dolphins are clearly building for a couple years down the road, right, whereas the Jets, a little less so. I think people see Jets and they see Adam Gase and they're just like, yeah, I don't want any part of that.
Yeah, which I get. But yeah, I mean, obviously, if you think the Patriots are bad, then you have to think that the Bills are winning a division.
Yeah, so I just don't love them at plus 110. I think that's a little bit low, but I do think they win the division. What about the AFC North? Ravens are big favorites there at minus 185. Do you think there's anybody here that challenges them for the division?
I didn't mind Steelers at plus 350. It sounds like Roethlisberger is healthy, and yep, that team is a lot different when he's healthy. And so I don't think it's crazy to say the Steelers could win that division. It would also take, you know, some pretty significant downgrades for the Ravens, but I wouldn't rule out the Steelers. But Bengals plus 2600 is a fun way to light your money on fire.
Yeah, there's a lot of buzz there. Everybody loves Joe Burrow. Mixon signed the deal, so he's in the camp. I don't know if they can do quite enough on defense to really win the division, but I think the Steelers are the best bet too. Whenever I saw plus 350, I mean, I think the Ravens probably win it, but minus 225 in a division with Roethlisberger and all the weapons he has, I think it's a little too pricey for me.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one.
AFC South's an interesting one. Indianapolis is actually favored with Phil Rivers moving there at plus 120. I like Tennessee again at plus 175 over Indy. I think that I don't think Indy should be favored. I think Phil Rivers is kind of done. I'm not a big fan of that signing. I realize that he's going to have a much better offensive line than he had last year, but I don't think the arm strength is there. He had a lot of deep passes last year that just like died 10 yards short. I don't love it. I love T.Y. Hilton. I like Jonathan Taylor, but I think Tennessee, the way they play, I think the confidence from last year making their deep run to the AFC Championship game, I think is the second favorite. I think they're one of my favorite bets, actually, at plus 175.
Yeah, I think that's, unfortunately, for podcast arguments, unfortunately, I have to agree with you on the Titans. I do want to say,
do you like Houston at all? Do you think
it's fun? Really funny you say that, because I was like, Houston won the division last year.
Yeah, they did.
But
like, is this overreaction to just DeAndre Hopkins leaving and them losing weapon there? But I mean, they're so badly coached. Bill O'Brien's truly awful, but Deshaun Watson's still easily the best quarterback in this division by like the biggest leaps and bounds you can imagine. Yeah. I mean, and if you're going to give me plus 350 on the best quarterback in the division, that's, you know, probably a bet that you end up doing well on if you take most times.
Yeah. That's, I thought they were the best bet in the division, but I don't actually see them finishing ahead of Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Watt's got to stay healthy. There's a lot there, but AFC West.
Hold on, before you keep going. Yeah. I had to point this out. I was going to do it before. Joe Burrow is 6 months younger than Sam Darnold.
That seems crazy to me. And everybody's written off Sam Darnold looking for the Jets to, you know, tank and draft Trevor Lawrence. I'm a big Sam Darnold fan. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to have a good year. I mean, I think last year you threw out the window the mono stuff, yeah, and the missing time and all that. Sneaky has some weapons too. If Breshad Perriman can stay healthy, he's a guy that I do like for DFS. We're going to talk about him next week. If he can get healthy, he's a little banged up right now. I like with them and Crowder and Chris Herndon healthy. I think it's a little bit of a sneaky passing offense that people are overlooking. You don't want to go any further on that.
I can't. No, I don't want to.
AFC West, the Chiefs are obviously insane favorites. I've anywhere from minus 350 to minus 455. Hard to pick against them, but if you had to pick someone else in this division, say something happens to Mahomes or, you know, that falls apart in Kansas City, nobody thinks that's going to happen. Which of the three other teams, we're all from like kind of plus 800 to plus 1200, would you prefer?
Denver.
I agree. That sucks for the podcast. I agree so much, but I think Denver is going to be a sneaky good offense too.
Yeah. This actually brings up something I wanted to throw out here since we're talking about bets. And I know that like people who are very kind of casually sports bettors tend not to shop around, even though that's like what you should do everywhere. But the Broncos are plus 900 to win the division at DraftKings, but they're plus 1100 at FanDuel, which...
Yep, and if you go to the RotoWire sports betting page, which is, I think is pretty new, they lay those out and they actually highlight in green, which has the best odds. It makes it really easy to find.
Right, and so, I mean, if you are very new to sports betting, I mean, that just the... If you're just placing your bet on... one of them, any of these bets, like, and it goes back and forth. Like it's not like one book always has better odds. Like, the Jets were 850 at DraftKings, but 800 at FanDuel. So you don't necessarily like, oh, all the best odds are there, but
yeah, it very much depends on who people at that site have been betting and they move the lines as such.
Right. Right. But, yeah, like your, $100 at FanDuel will turn into 1100 for this Broncos pick, but only 900 for at DraftKings. So like that's actual money that is very different for the same bet. So just what you're looking for.
A preview of the next 17 weeks of your life. I love Jerry Jeudy.
Mm.
Love Jerry Jeudy. I think Jerry Jeudy is going to be good and good right away.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about Drew Lock.
I think we will have some Drew Lock, especially next. I think we'll have early on in the season too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
NFC East, Cowboys are favorite here, minus 120. Eagles are plus 145. The Washington football team is obviously way down the list, as are the Giants. Anybody you like here?
I think the Cowboys win the division, but I think plus 1,100 for the Giants. They're actually plus 1,500, excuse me, on FanDuel, so go with that one. I don't think it's crazy. Like, that division... as much as like people love to hype it up, like that division is garbage every year in terms of like,
it was terrible last year. Neither the Eagles, I think, won it 9-7, but like stumbled down the stretch, didn't deserve to win it. That division's awful.
Every year, whoever wins it, you're just like, that team is not good. Like, they're always the worst division winner. And it's always, those games are always close.
I'm afraid the Cowboys are going to be really good this year though.
I agree. That's why I said, I thought they'd win the division, but like, I can't, I mean, it's probably like 2 years ago, and I'm just going to shoot myself in the foot on this one, but like the last time a team from this division won like 13 games and was dominant just feels like it's been forever. So like, I think that of any division to have like a potential long shot win, it's this one.
And yeah, it's not the Giants, Washington. No, I don't think it's Washington either. Although they, you know, got a lot of good young players. They cut Adrian Peterson today,
right,
which is...
Right. They got younger only by cutting Adrian Peterson.
Exactly. That's how they get younger. You got Antonio Gibson and Bryce Love maybe there. So they might have some interesting players for DFS. So they're a team that we'll definitely be talking about. NFC North is an interesting division. The Vikings are plus 175. Packers are plus 180 at the odds I looked at last night. Do you have a preference here between those two, the two snow teams here?
I just sided ever so slightly with the Packers. I was more trying to convince myself whether the Bears or the Lions could win the division, and I just like don't see it. It just felt like the Vikings overperformed last year, and I just expect them to.
I think the Packers overperformed last year too. I'm probably a little jaded by watching the Niners Packers NFC Championship game when it was like two different teams on that football field. Yeah. Like the Packers just. I find it so weird that they didn't address wide receiver at all in a year where there were like 15 wide receivers in the draft that people really, really liked.
Right.
Kind of pick, you know, find how you like the most and just take them. Like it was not like you had to do it in the top 10 picks either. You could do it in the second round or the third round. There were so many guys to take, and instead they take a backup quarterback and a backup running back. It was the weirdest draft I've seen in a long time. Considering you have a quarterback who still is really good and kind of on his, you know, the backside of his career, you don't get him some help for Devontae Adams. It was a very strange draft, and it was I don't know what the Packers were doing there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either.
But I mean, like you stick Jerry Jeudy or Ayuk or any of these guys, Jefferson, all these guys that are, you know, look good in camp. You stick any of those opposite Devontae Adams with Rodgers. The way we're talking about the Packers offense right now is just different.
Hmm. Of course you include Ayuk.
I just the first guy that popped in my head.
Of course he was.
he looked great in camp, but he got hurt already. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, he, like Denzel Mims went late. CeeDee Lamb fell to the Cowboys, who I love CeeDee Lamb too. I mean, it's going to be a fun year for rookie receivers. I think we're going to have a couple guys that really break out. Hopefully receiver in the first year is tough, but I think we're going to have a couple this year. NFC South is always – a fun division. I've already mentioned that I don't like Tampa Bay this year. I mentioned I didn't like the Patriots. I also don't like Tampa Bay. I thought I was talking about Brady, but I was talking about the Patriots. I don't like Tampa Bay either this year. I think Tampa Bay goes 8-8 is a huge disappointment.
I agree. I think.
I thought that was on an island with that one.
No, I'm like jaded for 20 plus years of watching Tom Brady ruin things that I like. But I agree. I just don't. I think they're just being hyped way too much. But I think like the Saints at -125, at least on DraftKings where I'm looking right now, like that probably makes sense. But Falcons at +800? Is that crazy?
I don't think it's crazy, and I think they win the division.
Oh, all right. There we go.
Yeah. I mean, the Saints are the favorite, and they deserve to be the favorite. I don't love that team. I just don't know how Breeze is going to – I mean, we're at the end of his rope, and they have Jameis there, and who knows what happens if he comes in. But I think just the Tampa Bay, I mean, they've signed – they're already talking about Gronk being like kind of a, you know, red zone guy now, and he's not fully, you know, ready for football. You know, obviously they have a lot of weapons there. I don't like Fournette signing. I don't think they needed that one. But I just don't think their defense there. Shaq Barrett's really good. Lavonte David's really good. But I think that if you lined up in the slot, I'd play you in DFS against the Buccaneers right now. You go for like eight for 80 and a score. And yeah, I love that need. PPR.
You don't even need the score. For 80.
Exactly. But I just don't – I don't see it on the defensive side. I think it's a division where you need to play some defense. I don't like Carolina. I think they're obviously rebuilding. And I'm not a Teddy Bridgewater fan. I think he's fine and nothing more than fine. I just didn't like that sign. But I think Atlanta's easily the best price here. It's something that I actually might end up betting on.
Yeah, I agree. Like price-wise, like –
yeah, exactly.
The fact that, like, I guess they're the same to win their division as the Chargers are to win the AFC West. And it just seems like that division is – the South is much, much closer.
I think so, too. And the NFC South always is kind of moving around, whereas, I think the AFC West, unless Mahomes gets hurt, is kind of shut down already.
Right.
NFC West is a really interesting one. You know, everybody's always talks about the NFC East and how powerful those teams are, and it's been not the case for a while. The NFC West is coming right now. They're, the 49ers were the Super Bowl last year. The Seahawks are always good. The Rams were the Super Bowl 2 years ago. The Cardinals have signed, they've made some good draft picks, some good signings. They have Kyler Murray. This is a really competitive division with some good top-end teams, too.
Are you able to, like, unbiasedly make a choice here?
I am able to unbiasedly make it. I think the 49ers are probably the best team, but I don't think I'd bet them as the favorite. I think the division is too good. Too good top to bottom to lay them as a, as minus odds in this division.
And do you think any of the teams can win, or do you think it's just between them and the Seahawks?
I think interesting enough, I think the Rams are the only team that aren't going to win the division. I think the Cardinals have an outside chance.
Yes. Yes. I don't want to talk about the Cardinals.
I think that the offense is coming along. I think Kyler Murray's going to be much better in his second year. He was good the second half last year. I think that the Isaiah Simmons draft pick was really, really good. And I thought I was disgusted they got him. I think he slipped down to like ninth or whatever it was. He was one of those guys that I was like, I think he's one of the two or three best players in this draft, and they got him where they got him. I think they're coming. I think it's probably a year early, but yes. I think it plus whatever is 700 or whatever the line is. I saw up to plus 800. I think they're the best bet in this division. I think the Niners and Seahawks can be really tough to topple, but I think the Cardinals are the best bet, and I think they do have a legit outside chance to end up winning it.
I completely agree. Cardinals are plus 260 to make the playoffs.
And in expanded playoffs, you're an extra spot too, so that factors in also. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you like Seattle? How do you feel about Seattle coming into the season? With season starts in 10 days here.
I mean, I think they're good. I think they have just as good of a shot of winning the division as the 49ers. I'll put it that way. Like separation where they're plus 220 on DraftKings, and the Niners are minus 106. Like I feel like that should be closer.
And the Niners were obviously really good last year, but the division came down to a quarter of an inch at the goal line in the last game of the season.
Exactly, exactly.
And I the Seahawks always play each other tough, and I think they're pretty. I think the disparity between their prices is off too. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
Who wins the Super Bowl?
I wanted to drop a quick trivia question on you.
Oh please, I'm sure I'm going to butcher it. Go ahead.
Other than the Patriots, who is the last team to make back-to-back Super Bowls?
Wow. Seattle?
No.
Well, they didn't play Denver and New England back to back.
I don't believe so. But now you're making me look it up because
I thought they beat Denver and then lost to Seattle, but I think you're right. I think there was a year in between. I think the Eagles maybe they were the year in between there.
Where are we here? No, I don't think so.
No, I think you're right.
Oh, no, you. I'm sorry. You are right. It is the Seahawks. Before that,
you're asking me trivia questions.
Before that, my apologies.
You're telling me I'm wrong.
I don't know how I missed that one. Oh, because they lost, maybe. Well, I'll change it then, or I'll just tell you the answer so we don't randomly go. Before, other than the Seahawks, it was the Broncos back in 97, 98, whatever Roman numeral Super Bowls those were. But I'm just like, do you think the Chiefs and or the 49ers get back to the Super Bowl?
I think the Chiefs have a significantly better chance. I mean, I love the Niners team, but just getting back is really tough. And I think their division's hard. I think the Chiefs just have an easy division, so they're going to be good there. Maybe the best team, but you're right. It's really hard to be good consistently in the NFL. And, you know, the Patriots kind of are the one that, you know, the outlier that blows that out of the water. But I'd probably pick Baltimore if I had to pick somebody, just because I usually tend to bet against a team making it back-to-back years. But the Chiefs, the problem is that in the fourth quarter, you got Patrick Mahomes, and I'm going to take that bet every single damn time.
Yeah, I get that. I looked up a specific Super Bowl matchup, which these odds go long because there's so many combinations you could possibly. But this one is plus 3,600 on FanDuel, Baltimore-Dallas.
That's what I have. That's funny.
Yeah.
And it's not – you don't have to pick Baltimore over Dallas or Dallas over Baltimore. It's just the two teams playing each other.
Correct.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's that would be my that'd be my best bet there. I think that I that's who I had going anyway. Kansas City's gonna be really tough, and you know obviously Dallas tends to underperform quite often over the last 20 years. But I think the Dallas offense is built to win right now, which brings us into our league MVP pick. Patrick Mahomes is the favorite at plus 450. You had to pick someone besides Mahomes to win the MVP. Who would it be?
Dak.
Ah, this is not fun. We agree on everything.
I'll get you. I have a longer shot one if you want that one. Actually, I have two of them.
Dak's plus 1,200. I love the weapons. I think the stats are going to be huge, and that, you know, that I think they're going to be good too. So I think that works. But who's your longer shot?
Dak's 1,400 at DraftKings.
All right.
The two longer ones I have, one is plus 2,500 at DraftKings, Kyler Murray. I think if the Cardinals win the division, he wins MVP. And plus 4,400 on FanDuel, Ben Roethlisberger.
That's an interesting one too. If they win that division, and he's obviously because of him, that's a pretty good one too. I like that.
And you figure if the Ravens are healthy and they are what they are, and the Steelers win that division, they went like 13-3, right? Like you're not winning that division at 8-8.
And it's funny. It sounds crazy, but if I had picked Lamar Jackson a year ago, you would have just laughed me out of the room too.
Absolutely. So.
Yeah, Kyler's an interesting one because he does a lot of stuff on the ground and through the air. You're right. If they suddenly pop up and are a year early being really good and win the division, it's going to be hard for him not to be in the top couple there.
Right. Like, I don't see how they win the division and they give it to DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
Any, like, rookies you like? Any big fantasy breakouts? Anybody you got before we get out of here?
We mentioned the two of them earlier, or I did. I think Rookie of the Year is the favorite, Joe Burrow. And I think Sam Darnold is the biggest surprise of the NFL season.
Oh, I like that. My surprise is I think Tampa Bay goes 8-8, and I think New England goes under 500. I love J.K. Dobbins, plus 2,000, so 20-1 to win Rookie of the Year. I think he's a huge fantasy breakout. I think it's going to take a while, but I think either he takes over for Ingram, and I love a running back next to a running quarterback as good as Lamar. I think Dobbins, the second half of the year, is going to win season-long leagues. He's going to win some DFS money, too. I love Dobbins. I think he's just a massive talent that got drafted in the wrong spot for fantasy right now just because Ingram's ahead of him. Ingram's still really good. I just love Dobbins. I think Dobbins is going to be really good. The rookie there might be tough because he might take a while, but at 20-1, I like that. And I love Jerry Jeudy, too, but it's just – it's hard. If Burrow's good at all, it's going to be hard for him not to win. He's obviously the favorite. He's just a quarterback. The stats are there. He's going to be starting from day one. He's got good weapons. You know, if AJ Green can miraculously ever stay healthy, but, you know, mix in there. Tyler Boyd's good. I think you're right. I think Burrow's probably end up winning it, but it's a tough price to pay at the odds.
Right. Agreed.
Well, thanks everyone for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the DFS version sponsored by Fantasy Owner or Dynasty Owner, excuse me. We look forward to breaking down the slates every week. Obviously, we're just kind of chatting football this week, but we'll be talking about week one next week, which is really exciting to say out loud. I'm looking forward to that. Andrew, good to be back with you. And it's good. I've had a different co-host this the last few years, so I'm glad to get some continuity with you here.
At least for 1 week.
Well, that's true. Yeah, don't get fired this week. We'll be good to go.
So, do my best.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you can please rate and review the podcast, that'd be fantastic. Also, if you want to follow Andrew on Twitter, he's at RotoWireAndrew. I am at Scott Genstead. Other than that, hit us up on there if you have any questions or stuff you want to talk about. Other than that, we'll be back at you for the week one slate next week. Take care.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.